Praise the Lord Jesus. Okay, Larry, this is our prayer meeting, collection of the testimonies of the sound. Everybody's welcome to come up and decree, whether you are in the sanctuary in prayer or whether God's been ministering, because we are then, after we declare what the Lord's saying or what happens, then we pray it over everybody and everybody partakes. Larry Bingman started off this morning at 6 a.m., so you get to begin our testimony time.
For you,
Mama,
have a word for you.
Antonio,
no, for his mother.
For his mother, okay. Mother. Sylvia, no, mother. For the mama.
Mama, levantate, por favor, levantate. Espíritu Santo dice, hay libertad completamente en tu vida por siempre, por medio. El amor de Jesús que está en tu vida por siempre. Recibe el toque, recibe el poder, recibe mi amor por siempre en tu vida y para tu familia también. Share my love with your family. Mm. And you will see them come to me by my power, by my grace, this very hour, and all their sins will be erased. I declare this in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Yeah.
I love that. I thought I could do the whole thing in Spanish, but I didn't. Oh, well. Oh, sweet Jesus, sweet Jesus. Sweet Jesus, that's the way it began. You're beautiful beyond description. This is the song, I stand, all of you. Too marvelous for words, That's how I began to sing. I went to Psalm 63, 1-8, but I got stuck on verse 3. For your tender mercies mean more to me than life itself. Think about that. This is the Passion Translation. King James says, thy loving kindness is better than life. Mm-hmm. So we began to pray that. Then Brother Wes Grosby came in. And I said, Wes, let's sing that. Thy loving kindness is better than life. And I can't sing anymore, but he can. We sang it. We wept. We sang it because Jesus' loving kindness is better than life. And if you'll ponder that, his goodness, his grace, his mercy, his kindness is so amazing. It's better than life itself. Thank you, Lord. And then we switched to revival among nations. Because I look at this every day when I'm here. I see there are 206 nations. We went from region to region to region. We started with the Middle East revival, the overwhelming revival, the fire of the Holy Spirit all across the Middle East nation, starting with Iran and going to Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia, the prince of Saudi Arabia is Mohammed bin Salman, and he is going to see the man in white. He's going to fall down before the feet of the man in white and give his life to Christ. Now, I don't know if you know that Islam started in Saudi Arabia. Mecca is in Saudi Arabia. You're going to watch one of the biggest nations of Islam just bow their knee to the man in white, whose name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The man in white overwhelming the Middle East. He's overwhelming China. We declare that, I don't know the leader's name, but the man that took over Chuan Lai several years ago, that leader of the communist government in China, there are 300 million believers praying every day for that man. And I say, he will see not the man of white, he will see Jesus. he will see the Lord lifted up high and mighty, and he will bow his knee. And you will find that the Chinese government says, we have made a decision. And they can do that because of a totalitarian government. We have decided that Jesus is the Lord over China.
Yes.
That 300 million will be swept into the kingdom of God, the biggest nation population on the face of the earth. And the world is awaiting for the Chinese people to leave China and go right over the Silk Road into Jerusalem. And there's a whole picture about that. Brother Mac drew that picture. I gave that picture to the people in Bangkok. And that's called the Back to Jerusalem movement. And it starts with the Chinese people. And then the Singaporean, and then the Malaysian, then the Thai, all lay hold of it. The Koreans, and they all began to move down the Silk Road. The Silk Road recently got completely refurbished. Why is that? Because you're going to watch the Oriental people take Jesus back to Jerusalem.
Yes.
Declare that today in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, glory to God. Oh, thank you, Lord. We went into Asia, Africa, Europe, South America, and America, the islands. And then we said, but there was revival starting last night in Ventura. And we, Jubilee Church, will be preaching this Friday night. It's called the 10 Days of Hope. That's 10 days, 10 tenths, and 10 cities in California. Lou Engels and YWAM are sponsoring this. And Brother Wes is there tonight, not this Brother Wes, the other Wes. He is worshiping today. He'll be doing it Thursday night. He'll be doing it Friday night, and I'll be ministering the word on Friday night in the tent in Ventura, because this is the local revival that the breath of God is blowing all across California. And then Brother Wes began to play Psalm 50. Call unto me, and I will answer you, and I will save you, and you will praise me. That's Psalm 50, verse 15. So we began to call on Jesus, and he began to answer us, and he saves us to the uttermost, because it's by Jesus' life that we are saved, as Romans 5:10 says. And then we began to cry out for mercy on America. Mercy. And then we said, the fires of revival, the fires of revival, burning up the chaff and causing America to rise up and to lay hold of Christ for what Christ has held of America. 400 plus years ago, America was raised out of nowhere. And that flag began to flutter. And that flag represents freedom, but not just freedom of expression, but freedom in Christ Jesus. Yes. And you will see the greatest move of God from America like you have seen in the past, because America's destiny will be fulfilled. And we declare the fire of the Holy Spirit is burning up the chaff and declaring it. Then we went to sing King of Glory. We sang the King of Glory. Pastor Steve just talked about the King of Glory. Open your arms. Let the King of Glory come in. This is Jesus. Mm-hmm. He is the triumphant. He is the worthy one. He is the great high priest. He is my righteous King. That's who he is. And we declare this in Jesus' name. And then we began to stretch our hands toward our media team. And we declared a tenfold increase for the media team, because we need the media team to expand. We decided there are all these flags used to be around here. All the flags are there now. There's 206 nations for us to go, for Jubilee to go to the nations. We need more Zoom crusade. Wes is doing two this month. I'm doing one next week. That's two. Two guys for two nations. Hallelujah. Well, what if there's 10 guys and 100 guys, 100 women, declaring the goodness of God across the nation? The Zoom is a way that God can get us to go without having to travel. We come here. We thank God for the media team. And then the last thing, and I love this, it was brought up about Somalia. I don't know if you know about Somalia. Somalia does not have a very good reputation. So we prayed for Somalia in Nations Prayer 2 weeks ago. And this is what the Spirit of God gave me, two things. The warlords, they're famous for warlords, become purveyors of peace. And the pirates have become parishioners of promise. Purveyors of peace and parishioners of promise. And that's the declaration of God over the nation of Somalia. You're going to watch the warlord come to Jesus. You're going to watch the pirate stop. And they're going to help the shipping lane. They're no longer harass the shipping. Because Somalia is changing by the declaration from earth to heaven, back to earth by the power that's in Jesus' name. So we declare the declaration about Jesus, our high priest, our mighty God, our living Savior, our life-giving Spirit. We worship you, Jesus. We declare your faith, your hope, your love, your grace is abundant. And we thank you for the open heaven we prayed for today. The heaven is open, and you're sending angels down to do what you call us to. We saw that tape in the waters of baptism. There's an anointing on this baptism water as we've never seen before. We thank you, Lord, for the open heaven. There's an open heaven. There's no restriction, no limitation. You are the unlimited God, and we worship you, Jesus, for your unlimitation in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Hey, it's been a great day. There's so much that has happened today. I'm going to call Chris forward first, and then after Chris, Wes, and then after Wes, Petey, and then I'll come up too. So come on forward. Thanks.
Yay, yay.
I didn't take notes. Yeah, I love that, truly. It started out like most prayer meetings, you know, people are praying, and then it started shifting. And as we were surrendering more and listening more, it shifted a little more. And one scripture I remember, because I'm just, you know, you blurt them out and God tells you and you just keep moving in his presence. He said, this is 1 Peter 1, I think is what we wrote down. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to undefiled, who are kept, that's us, by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And at that point, we were praying for others, family, friends that might not be saved yet, or where they were just not where they're supposed to be. And then the Lord started showing us things. And see, the Lord is very gracious. He knows everyone's heart, and he knows exactly when to woo us into his presence and tell us when to come and where to move. And then the Lord showed us a picture of a symphony. And he's the orchestrator or the conductor. And in an orchestra, before they play, you hear them all making all kinds of noise. And it says, what is this chaos? And that's what we're hearing right now, is the chaos of the land. But when the conductor stands, when Jesus stands up, and he raises his hands, the music starts playing, and we heard it. We heard it, and it was beautiful. And everybody had a part in it. The drums at the perfect time, they came in because God told them to. The violins were playing, and the string instruments, and the trumpets, and everybody, and the voices. We heard it. We heard it.
Yes.
And then Wes, come on up, please. In fact, then he reminded me of years ago, I was at a Women's Aglow meeting, and they had us all sing the same song, and from people from all over the world, we all started singing the same song. And I sat there, and I'm listening to all these different voices singing the same song in their languages, and it was beautiful. It was beautiful. And then Wes here, he had he told me about an encounter that he had in a subway. Mm-hmm. Okay, so he's going to continue because it just grew. It grew. And the symphony that we saw was real, and it's God, and it's coming. And everybody will be called in that he calls. And we all, he says he wants us all to come into his presence. Yeah. That's for him to decide, and each one of us individually. It's individually, but together.
Yeah.
I don't understand it, but, you know, Larry has a certain instrument he plays, and mine's different. It doesn't make him better or worse. We all have a call to bring forth, but tell him about it. It was beautiful.
Yeah, it really was. So we had this experience as a youth pastor, young adult leader. We would take the young adults and we would take them out in the underground metro. We'd start at the North Hollywood metro station, and then we would stay on the metro car for a couple hours at times and just preach the gospel, and it was amazing. But this time we had like this unction to get out, and we just got out at a certain stop, and now we're just in the concrete area where people come on and leave. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit dropped, and this team of 20 people all of a sudden started to function in who they were. Every joint was supplying, every person was doing their share, and it was every single worshiper was in total worship. I'm talking about like high praise, ecstatic, exuberant praise in the public square. And every intercessor and prayer warrior was either praying over somebody or covering another evangelist who was approaching people with the gospel. And the spirit of death came out of a guy within 5 seconds. The spirit of death jumped right out of him, and you saw this blood just shoot out of his mouth, and he got delivered on the spot. 18 people came to Christ within 10-second conversation, just one person after the other. And I stood back at this moment, and I had this Selah pause, and I looked out, and I saw every single person doing exactly what they were made to do. And I was so taken back by how the symphony, the orchestra, how this was all just being woven together, this beautiful tapestry, that I was like paralyzed for a moment. I was in this place of total shock, watching every person flowing in exactly who they were. Mm-hmm. And it was so amazing, and it really gripped my heart. And I remember that moment forever. I'm believing that moment's going to become something that's going to become a life journey in the body, where we're a body that's our life pulse has become one, because we're focused in on him. We're not comparing ourselves among one another and trying to mimic each other and trying to figure out what each other's doing, but we're focused in on him, and we're just moving in our positions, and every part is doing its share. So I just want to pray that for us right now. So can we
let's stand up.
Agree right now. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you sent the forerunner, that you sent the man that would go in and forerun on our behalf and run through something that we could have never ran through, and he was run through because he took every blow and every sin, and he became the curse, and he took it upon himself, but he rose up and he took his blood and he placed it on the mercy seat, and he is the one that can anchor us in this place and hold us to the beauty of his blood that speaks a better word, to his life that's flowing from the throne of grace, his mercy that triumphs. And I bless right now every body member, right now, every member of this body, every joint, every part, I declare that your value value is in the head, and it's what the head has said. It's not what Susie said. It's not what Joe has done. It's not what Rodney didn't do. It's what the head has done. It's what he's doing right now.
Yes.
It's what he's coming back to do. It's agreeing with his intercession right now and coming under his headship and aligning to what it is that's happening right now. And all of a sudden, the government that rests upon his shoulders is now resting on this body, and this body's functioning under the authority of the head that governs this body. And we are joints that are supplying their part, and we are knit together in love, and we are effective, and we are fervent, and we are moving together in this symphony of praise and this orchestra of glory. We just thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're moving about in a sound that's causing life to abound. You're breaking out and calling the lost found. You're calling those that have been bound and cuffed and chained and shackled into a place of no limitation, where the battle belongs to the Lord. We just decree right now that the body of Messiah, the anointed one, the one that was smeared with the fullness of God and sat down at the right hand and allowed all that was poured out on him to be poured out in the early church. But there's a latter rain. There's a greater glory. There's something that's been reserved. And we thank you that the smearing of the living God is coming to every body part, not just to beautify it, not just to make it function, but to call it to attention to the head. And all of a sudden, as it functions from submission, and everything is brought into alignment in the beauty of holiness.
Yes.
We give you glory.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
We receive it. Yes, Lord.
I wanted to add a little bit. The symphony that we saw was huge. And all I could see was gold everywhere. Most instruments are brass, but the instruments were of gold, shining. But the voices were godly voices, and the instruments were just music you'd never heard, because it only can come through God. It was beautiful, and everybody had a part. Everybody. But he reminded me in Joel 2, he says, everyone marches in formation. This is God's army. Everyone marches in formation. And they do not break ranks. They do not push one another. For everyone marches in his own column. Though they lunge through between the weapons, they do not cut each other down. They build each other up. And that's what family does, is we build each other up to be more than what we think we are, but what God wants us to be. In my wildest dreams, I never thought I'd be standing in this place, because I kind of liked it at the back. But God drags me up, and somehow he puts something in my heart to say. Worthwhile, who knows? But it's him, so it must be.
Yes.
But you're part of the orchestra. Everybody has a part, and you will play it, and you will walk with each other in unity, out of love, out of respect, and always in Jesus.
Amen. Oh, Kim, Chris, that's two times you came up. Now release an impartation. Yeah, you got to pray it out. We want that. How many want some of that? Stand up. Let's receive it. We're not here learning with our heads. We're here believing with our hearts. So let go for it. Release.
Oh, Lord, I thank you that you are the merciful one. You are the one that calls us and woos us. You're the one that breathes life into us. And when you breathe that life into us, Lord, you ignite our hearts with more of you. And then we fall madly in love with you. And we seek you out. And that we do pray more. We do read our word more, because all of a sudden it's coming alive. Because you are alive. You're the living God. And you desire to be with each and every one of us. You woo us to your presence to teach us your ways. You woo us to your heart because you love us so much that you don't ever forsake us. Lord, I thank you that each of us has a calling on our life, different but the same, because it's all to give you the glory. It's all to give you the praise and the honor. But that relationship is what you're calling us to. We have to have it once you've given us a taste of it. So, Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you desire even more than we do to pour yourself into us, so we all can see visions of your glory. You say, taste and see that the Lord is good. Yeah, it's true. For each and every one of us. Each and every one of us. Thank you, Father.
Yeah. Yes and amen.
Kelly, if we could go to John 21, verse 22, please. So in line with that, it just got really rich for a good while. We started to talk about Peter and his calling and the different callings on everyone. And we're talking about one body, many parts right now. And the Lord seemed to highlight this. Jesus said, Peter, let's back up one scripture, please, verse 21. Peter had just been called to follow Jesus again after denying him three times. And Jesus restored him. And in that moment of intimacy between Peter and Jesus, I imagine it was quite convicting. It was a moment of restoration, but it was still Peter having to lay down his shame and receive Jesus is welcoming him back. And in that moment, he gets distracted and he sees John, and his soul kicks in, and he's like, but Lord, what about this guy? Next scripture. And Jesus says, if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. Yes. And those were the exact same words that Jesus called Peter with 3 years prior. You follow me. And in that moment, when we're watching the body pick up their instruments and we're watching, well, maybe this one has a ministry and maybe this one is doing this and this one is doing that, and the Lord's saying, but what's that to you? You follow me. And then he spoke to me that there's only one neck hole in the yoke I'm called to. That Jesus calls me to be yoked together with him. And it's not this long yoke with a neck hole for everybody. It only has a neck hole for me. That as I respond to his call, his yoke is easy and his burden is light for me. But if I try to pick up Chris's yoke and he has not called me to that, he's called Chris to that. He said, Chris, you follow me here. But he said, Diana, you follow me here. So if I try to pick up her yoke, I'm going to strain. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be light. There's only one space for me on that yoke with Jesus, and it's only for me. And at the same time, we have a corporate calling as Jubilee. So all of us, many parts in this one body, we hold these two callings in attention with God. And that is the call that I have on my life and within my life, between me and him, where he says, what's that to you, Diana? You follow me. But then there's a call for us corporately as a body that all of you are part of, that it will look different. We won't be the exact same space individually that we are corporately. But as we follow him and him alone, and we're not comparing and we're not measuring by anyone else's calling, then we will be under a yoke that is easy. Our lines will be straight because we'll be following his lead. And then also he spoke that the yoke that I'm called to, I can't constrain my brothers and sisters under that yoke. Because that calls on me. That's the place I hold before him in faith. So I have to be willing to hold that place in faith. I have to keep my faith before him. Romans 14 talks about not having faith to yourself. Petey's going to get up and share in just a second, but I wanted to share one more thing. If we could go to Matthew 14, verse 13. And it kind of goes along in the same vein of this, what is my part? My part is to hear the voice and to respond. Matthew 14, Jesus had just heard that his cousin John had been beheaded by Herod. And when he heard it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the multitudes heard where he'd gone, they followed him on foot from the cities. And when Jesus went out and he saw the great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, "This is a deserted place, and the hour's already late. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food." But Jesus said, "They don't need to go away. You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Well, we've only got 5 loaves and 2 fish. We got 2 tuna fish sandwiches. We got 5,000 people. We got 2 sandwiches. And he said, "Bring what you have to me." Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass. He took the 5 loaves, the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to his disciples. And the disciples gave to the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. So this is a group of 5,000 plus. And what the Lord was speaking in this moment is that what they had at the beginning of the story was the exact same thing they used to feed the 5,000. What changed was they went from resourcing themselves and going, like, this is me, okay? This is me. Everybody's here. We've been here all day. The people are hungry. They need to eat. And immediately, I will begin to turn to the natural. I can be in the midst of the most spiritual revelation moment where the Holy Spirit is moving. We're getting all this revelation. And bam, my soul kicks in. I'm like, y'all are hungry, huh? Okay, and then I resource the natural to care for a supernatural moment. And I go, oh, but they're hungry. We don't have, this is all we've got, and it's not enough. And I look at what I have with limitation, because who am I looking at? I'm looking at me. I'm resourcing me. If we're gonna step into this yoke with Jesus, we cannot resource ourselves, or we will end up with only ourselves. But when they went to the Lord and they said, "This all we got," he's like, "Hand it over." And he took it and he offered it to the Father and he blessed it and he gave it back to them. He did not give them food for 5,000 people. He gave them back exactly what they gave to him. But in that, they were able to now step in. And as they just gave the little they had, trusting the one who they offered it to, who offered it to the Father, what they had became more than enough. What they had became a kingdom resource. So I just, if you're going to stand right now, I'd like to pray for all of us.
Yes, yes, yes.
Holy Spirit, I am so grateful that you are the helper.
Yes.
And that your role on the earth right now is to show us Jesus.
Yes.
In that moment, they were in an incredible moment with you. So many hungry and thirsty for what you had. And then they turned to the natural so quickly. And they began to resource themselves. But Lord, you didn't chide them. You didn't rebuke them. You just said, hand it over.
Yeah.
And as they gave you exactly what they had, your anointing fell upon it, and then you gave back to them exactly the amount that they gave you. But now the Spirit of the Lord was upon it, and the kingdom breathed life on it, and it multiplied by 5,000, God. So thank you, Holy Spirit, that you here are our helper to remind us not to resource ourselves as we pick up our instruments, as we come to your symphony, as we come to come under the yoke that you've called each one of us to, but we're to look to you. We're to give to you exactly what we have. And then, Holy Spirit, you're going to remind us that our trust is not in the natural, but it's in the Father of lights, in whom there is no shifting shadows. And it is in beholding his Son. And so I thank you. You are calling us now to step into this yoke of faith and trust that comes one step of faith at a time. One step of faith at a time, and then the next step of faith, and then the next step of faith. And you take what little we have, and you multiply the kingdom in it, and all are fed. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen, amen.
Well, Larry Hicks was with us, and he turned to Petey, and he said, "Hey, how are the youth doing?"
Hey, that was his name. I couldn't remember Larry's last name. Hicks. Hicks. yeah, so Larry looks and says, "Hey, how's the youth? And what can we pray for the youth?" And as he's kind of explaining what he feels like, well, he's kind of prepping, like opening the door, and Diana starts saying, "Well, let's just take 5 minutes and let's all just speak in tongues. Let's just connect with the Lord rather than just praying from our head or from our heart." And as she was saying that, Larry says, "Yeah, because the youth, those are really formative years." As soon as he said it, the word formative was explosive. And the Lord started to talk to me. The word formative, it's like in the season to be formed, in the position, the readiness to be formed. And the Lord said, "I want all of you formative. This is not about the youth. This is about all of my kids. I want you formative. If you're not positioning yourselves to change and to be changed," he said, "move out of the way." And it's not that he's kicking us out. It's for us to make a decision to go, "I want to be moldable. I want to be changed. And if I'm not ready to do that yet, let me be honest with myself and step out of the way," because there are people who are ready to be changed, who are formative. And the Lord is saying, "Those are my people that I'm going to do something with right now." Mm-hmm. My now presence is going to be on the people who are formative, and I'm doing something. It's explosive, and it's exciting, and it's life-changing. And that's okay if you're not, but move out of the way. Make room for those who need and want and are ready for the change. That was the word about formative. And then, so I'm like, whoa, okay, that's good. Lord, okay, what do you want to say about the youth? And he says, "They're succulents." And for all of us that don't deal with plants, that means nothing. Like, oh yeah, I've seen those hanging. I don't know. But he started to break down, like, a succulent is, before I go there, he said, "They're succulents. Some of you guys were conifers. They're like needle plants, like the trees, like your Christmas tree. Some of you guys are seasonal trees where the leaves fall in seasons." But he says, "This generation is succulents." I'm like, "What are you talking about?" Well, they're on the outside, they're tougher, and they're actually, when I looked it up, the word that's used is fleshy. They're thicker, but what they do is they hold the moisture in. Mm-hmm. And so he's like, the what I'm doing is being God to a generation that is in an atmosphere that needs to be succulents. And sometimes what we're doing is calling the generation that is not us to be like us. I didn't ask you to call them to be what you were, because I prepared you and your generation for that season and for that time and for that atmosphere. These kids are mine, and I have it. Trust me, I have it.
Yeah.
How many of you guys made it through the Jesus movement era? That was crazy. Some of your testimonies that I've even heard from here, I'm like, whoa, you shouldn't be alive right now. But the Lord, he's God. Mm-hmm. And he's the same God that is going, these are my kids. Understand that I have them. And I have them tougher for a reason. But I'm still filling them with the water. And he's Psalms 46. Can you pull that up? I didn't bring my phone and Bible app. Okay. Psalms 46 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. Yeah, yeah. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. Yeah. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. Yeah. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge.
Yes, yes.
Lord, I thank you that you never leave us nor forsake us, that you are with us. And in the seasons where we feel like we're lacking, that we're without, you give us scripture to remind us that you are our refuge. That we don't have to fear, worry, or doubt about anything, especially the kids that you love more than we do. That we can come into you and be present in you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that every time we try to go to war on behalf of ourselves, and every time someone comes to war on against us, you break the bow and the spear and the chariot, because we are not supposed to be fighting. We are supposed to find refuge in you, Lord.
Yes, yes.
Thank you, Lord, for ending, for ceasing the wars. We will not fight for the next generation. We will go deeper into our place in you for the next generation, because you fight for us in a way that no one else can.
Oh, your mercy endures forever. You're new. Yes.
That you have our kids and our grandkids and our neighbors' kids, and you have all those people written in your book, and it is not our book of life. It is your book of life.
Yes, yes, yes.
Because you are the way.
Yes.
And there is no other way. You are the truth, and there is no other truth. Because all things that were created by you, for you, and through you.
Yes.
That includes our children. That includes generations that are not even alive yet.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for being Lord. for leading and loving in such a way that changes our lives, that brings us back to who we were always meant to be, Lord.
Yeah, yeah.
And whether we are in the desert, where we are the desolate place, it doesn't matter whether we see you moving or not. You are moving, and you are loving, and you are all powerful, Lord. Thank you for being you and allowing us to be in your presence. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Listen, yeah. I want to do one thing, 2 minutes, because that was power in that 5-minute prayer. I want us to pray in the Spirit for the men for Saturday and for the whole church to come into the family of God, and especially at our lunch on Sunday. Okay, so just everybody online, just raise your voice and begin to cry out, declare, speak in other tongues, or declare in English, prophesy. We speak over every man. We declare every man in Jubilee, young and old, 12, 11, 13, up, 99. We call forth the sound of revival. We call forth the sound of abundance. We call forth the Abrahamic anointing, where all of a sudden there's a time to say yes, and there's a time to laugh. And there's a time to let go, and there's a time to pick up, and there's a time to see the new. We call men out of hiding. We call men into abiding. We call men into prayer and intercession and successful prayer. Successful prayer. Prayer that works, that brings a fervent results like Elijah. Pray and stop, and pray and start. Pray and go. Pray and open the door. We call you from the east, the west, the north, and the south. We say, come, come Saturday morning. Come to the 7:30 breakfast. Hear the word of the Lord. Be equipped, be anointed, be empowered, be strengthened with might by the Spirit of God from the glory of God. Lord, we declare for our family, Jubilee, the house of God, the many members of the body of Jesus Christ at Jubilee, make our Sunday a love feast, a community, a gathering, a family, a meal, a fun, finding friends, reconciling relationships, coming deeper, going further, hearing faith, being encouraged. We declare all burdens off of the body and no yokes put on each other, but the yoke of Jesus Christ for each one. Hallelujah. We declare it. Break open the whole body and the online, our whole church out in the outer realms in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, may this, what you have done, we take it home with us. And we're going to practice. We're going to explore. We're going to experience until the things that we heard become things that we know, and the things that we know bring greater freedom in our lives, till it becomes a fountain we drink from, till it becomes a river that flows out of us. We declare it to be so now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Blessing everyone, guys. Blessing to you online. We'll see you. Show up at 7:30 Saturday, or show up Sunday at 9:30, 10 o'clock worship begins, and 11:30 lunches. God bless.